This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, it's November, and the Caps suck. Man, that was one of the most horrendous games I've ever seen this past Sunday. This team is the definition of Jekyll and Hyde, where they look fantastic, they look amazing on Friday, and then on Sunday, they look mismanaged, miscoached, they look disinterested to be on the ice. Just absolutely horrendous game to see. We're recording this on Tuesday before the Caps are up against the Panthers, so hopefully all the things that Coach Dan and I complain about tonight will be solved in this one game, but we shall see. Joining me, as always, to talk all about the wretchedness that was that performance on Sunday, Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing better than it sounds like you are right now. So angry.
Did you not see that game on Sunday? I mean, it's a Sunday game. It's a Ravens bye week, so I'm not watching Ravens football. And I'm like, this is great. I'm going to tune in, and it's going to be right at the start of the Caps game. It's on ESPN. It's a national stage. And they laid an absolute dud of a game there. Just that, honestly, that was one of the worst games I think I've ever seen them play.
So I saw part of the game. It was a game. I think Lars Eller put it best. I can't remember exactly verbatim what he said, but I believe there was some profanity involved in it. And they just played incredibly poorly. It was a game that they didn't show up in the first period, and that just kind of did them in. And when you play like that against an NHL franchise, you're going to lose. And when you play against that, a play like that against a team that is as good as the Tampa Bay Lightning, you're going to lose badly. And that's what happened. And I think when you play this poorly, it comes back to bite you in the butt. So that is where the Caps ended up. And it's kind of, I think injuries are still part of the problem. You know, you're still got a number of guys out. Of the guys that were injured, only John Carlson has come back so far. You know, we have some guys skating, but this is still definitely a problem. And I think the injury aspect of this team right now, it goes to show you that there's a problem when Connor Sheary is your second highest goal scorer on the team. That's a problem. Like, nothing against him.
Sure.
But if he's your second highest goal scorer, something's not going right.
Am I being too hard on this team, do you think?
No. Because, well, yes and no.
Because, I mean, like you said, a lot of injuries. This definitely isn't the team that Coach Laviolette thought he was going to have this season, even though he's technically not behind the bench at the moment. Get used to that coming up, I think. But there's a lot of names here. Like we talked about it last week, there's a lot of names here that these guys are just kind of making a name for themselves. And we've got a coach who likes his veterans, doesn't like his young guns, and they're both kind of in a tough spot because you've got a lot of unknown names, a lot of unknown players right now, and you've got a coach who is out at the moment, but when he was healthy, didn't want to play those young guys. So it's a tough spot to be in as a Caps fan because you want this team to succeed. You want them to also build to the next level. But right now, I know it's only November, but if you're looking for a playoff spot, I think the Caps are going to be fighting tooth and nail to get a spot in the playoffs with the way they're playing right now.
I think that's fair. I think they definitely, there is an opportunity. There is a possibility of them missing the playoffs. You know, there's still a lot of hockey left to play. We have some teams like the Devils who've come out flying, and you know, the question is, can they keep that up? And you know, it's certainly a good possibility, but we have no historical evidence to show as to whether that's going to be the case or not. But if you look at this team right now, I mean, you got Ovechkin leading the team in points, but he's less than a point per game player. Kuznetsov, who's second on the team, 13 points in 16 games, but only two of those points are goals. that's a problem. This is a guy who needs to up his goal. I mean, he's got 11 assists, so he's doing a great job there. But would this team be doing better if he was taking more shots, getting more opportunities, putting in more pucks on net? Maybe, maybe not. You know, when Shiri is second on your team in goals, as I mentioned, you got Mantha's got 5. He's only got 9 points in 17 games. That's a problem. Anthony Mantha is a guy who should be putting up more points. You know, when he's got the same amount of points as Connor Sheary in the same amount of games, but when you look at their salary cap situation, when you look at the expectations, Mantha should not be behind, given it's only one goal, but Mantha shouldn't be behind Sheary. And yes, injuries are a problem when you look at this team, when you've lost a guy like Connor Brown, when you've lost TJ Oshie, you know, when you have these guys that can put the puck in the net. I mean, you know, Connor Brown was actually lighting it up, but he also didn't play very much for the Caps before he got injured. But when you have that opportunity to have these guys that should be scoring and they're not, that is the big reason that this team is struggling right now. When these guys go down injured, you need other players to step up. And, you know, we can kind of talk about the McElephant in the McRoom right now in terms of Connor McMichael not playing. And yeah, that is a problem that he's not getting his opportunities, or opportunities that we, the fans, would like to see. But let me ask, is that because he's not maybe ready yet? Is he not at the point where he's going to be able to put up the numbers? Like, who is he? He's a center. You know, they've put him on the wing a bunch, and part of that's just because of happenstance and what's available for him to play when they're putting him in the lineup. But he thinks of himself as a center, and I'm sure the team thinks of him as a center. Who is he beating out? Right now, you've got Kuznetsov, Strom, Eller, and Dowd. Whose spot is he taking in the middle of the ice? You've got, you know, Ovechkin, Mantha, Shiri, Johansson. You know, you have guys on the wings. Whose spot is he taking? I don't know if that's necessarily the case. And with players being out, he, you know, ideally you want him to step up and take advantage of these opportunities. But my question is he ready? And if he's not ready, or he's not showing like he's ready, and you're not comfortable giving him the minutes that a guy like a young guy like him needs, put him in Hershey and let him dominate. Let him get some confidence back. Yeah, there's the possibility that he doesn't do well in Hershey, but I don't expect that to be the case considering what he did the last time he was there. Or there's the possibility that he stagnates a little bit, but even that's better than him doing nothing besides watching. Yes, there's some benefit, but the argument can be made that there is a better or more of a benefit for him to be playing, not every night, because, you know, the AHL kind of has weekend games and an occasional game in the middle of the week. There's more positivity. There's better things for him to be playing as much as he can. And that's not happening in DC right now. Put him in, you know, on the number one center spot and let him tear it up, and then bring him up when he's, you know, he's got more experience and see how that goes.
I do have a fear that Connor McMichael is going to be fed up with this place and be like, look, I want to play. I want to do something. Trade me if you're not going to put me on the ice. I mean, to be a part of the Caps organization, a Stanley Cup winning team, that is a big deal. But if you're not getting the playing time and you feel like you want to be a center and there's nowhere for you on this team, you know, Dmitry Orlov is a guy who wasn't getting along with his coach at the time, and he asked for a trade, if you remember, a couple years ago. I wouldn't be shocked if Connor McMichael asks to be traded, if not maybe used as trade bait to get someone to come in and kind of help this team score more goals and create more of an offense that has kind of been lacking at the moment.
I mean, I don't see them as allowing him to become trade bait, and I don't see him necessarily advocating for a trade.
I don't want him to go. I think he's got tons of talent. I want him to stay at Capital. But, like, if I'm a young kid like him who was sitting in the press box and he's going, dude, I want to play, like, that would be an out for him to be like, let me go play. I want to play. Let me do this.
I mean, I totally get that he would want to play. And I think that it makes sense that if he came out and was like, hey, can we do something about this? You know, I don't think he would come out and be like, hey, you guys need to move me or something like that. You know, I if anything, that stuff would happen behind the scenes, or his agent would come out and say something. But he's a young guy. He's what, 21? Is he even that old? 19?
Yeah, I don't even think he's that old, to be honest.
Where are you? He is 21. He will be 22 on January 15th. So I could see him being frustrated. I could see his agent trying to, like, push for not necessarily a trade, but, like, hey, you need to send my guy down or you need to play him more. Like, you need to pick one. You know, he's still got another year of he's got a contract for another year, and, you know, they still have plenty of control with him, but I want to see him getting opportunities to grow, and I feel like he's going to stagnate just sitting up in the press box most nights or playing on the wing. And, you know, I mean, I think they did it well with Marcus Johansson. They did it with Nick Backstrom when they first came over and kind of played them on the wing. But I kind of want to see him getting more minutes than he's been getting and getting more opportunities. And we're just not seeing it. But in their defense, he's played in 5 games so far. He's got 0 goals, 0 assists. Like, he's got to show that he deserves to be playing.
Right.
And I'm not sure that we've quite seen that yet.
No, I don't think we have seen that yet from Connor McMichael. But one guy that we have seen some good offense from, Sonny Milano. We brought him up last week as well. He's been like the one bright spot. Like, even though you said Anthony Mantha hasn't been looking great, I do want to say in that Tampa game on Sunday, I thought he was one of the better players on that team on Sunday. But that's really not saying much because that was a horrendous act by everybody. But Sonny Milano, he is a guy that really is a bright spot on this offense, and I could see him. I mean, it's very small sample size right now, but I could see him really making a splash and becoming like a permanent fixture on this team.
Well, he's certainly going to get his opportunity, being that he's playing on the first line tonight in Florida, at least to start the game. But here's the thing I'm worried about, is that he goes and plays on the first line for a couple of shifts, and they don't score, you know, they don't make great pass, you know, a couple turnovers or whatever in the offensive zone. And the coaching staff is like, you know what, we got to switch it up. It's not working out. It's like, no, give them some time. Give them an opportunity to gel. But this is a guy who played with Trevor Zegras last year in Anaheim. Like, he's had opportunities on the first line before, and he did quite well last year. So I want to see some consistency by giving him a couple of games on the first line, be it, yeah, well, maybe not a couple games. Maybe at least one game or two games, and give them an opportunity to gel. Give them a couple practices together. You know, we got this game in Florida, and then they're off to St. Louis and Colorado. I want to at least see a couple practices, two games with Milano on the first line, where he has the opportunity to prove himself. And, you know, I think it could work out quite well. I mean, he's a good player. He's got good hands. Hopefully it works out. Maybe you got yourself a cheap first line right wing that can put the puck in the net or set other guys up, but he's a good player. You know, I'm excited to see how he does.
Yeah, I am too. I want to see what he does on this first line. Unfortunately, everyone's going to hear this after that game has happened, and he could have just like sputtered out.
It was an amazing hat trick.
Yeah,
the first period from Sonny Milano.
He's the one with the Ovech trick. Remember that old commercial where he got like 9 goals in one game?
Yes.
Remember that? Yeah. That maybe we'll see that, but I don't know. Sonny Milano, I think there's a lot of buzz around this guy. I think people are kind of like, ooh, let's see what this guy's going to do. But I could see his name on a back a couple jersey tees at Capital One Arena down the line. But I think starting off well, he's doing all right. So let's see what happens in the future. But our one of our newest Capitals that we actually picked up on waivers, not off to a great start with the Caps, already suspended for 3 games. Not a great intro to this team.
No, and it's not like he was being physical, defending one of the Caps players, or he was, you know, going after somebody for a cheap shot. It was a completely unnecessary hit, an open ice hit, elbow up. Like, it was just dumb. It's not a great way to convince your new coaching staff. That doesn't sound right. To convince your new coaches that you are someone that should be playing on this team, playing consistently. And, you know, he's got a lot to, he's dug himself, I think, in my opinion, he's dug himself a little bit of a hole, and he's got, you know, to work out of it. I don't think it necessarily changed the second time they played Tampa. I mean, I know Tampa was going to come out flying and playing at home and wanted to play well. It's not like they're going to have the opportunity to play him, given that he got suspended for 3 games, but it was a dumb hit. Thankfully, it didn't cost him. It actually helped them to get a goal in Milano's first goal with the team on the breakaways. He's the one that served the game misconduct penalty. So I thought that part was actually kind of funny. But aside from that, I think it was dumb. And you know, I don't think it was a good start for his career with the Capitals.
And we're talking about, this is Nicholas, how do you say it?
Abe Kubel.
Yeah, he's a guy that was picked up on waivers. He had a little buzz around him and gets to play in a game and just a really dumb hit. Really, really dumb. This is the kind of stuff you don't want to see in the NHL anymore. I mean, just like you said, elbow up, right in the head, just a terrible hit.
It's necessary.
No, completely unnecessary.
Like, I don't get it. Like, you didn't have to go and Slavkovsky. He didn't have to go and hit the dude in the back. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. He didn't have to go and hit that dude in the back. It was just dumb. Like, I didn't understand it. You could easily just hit the dude in the side, skating in front of him, cut behind him. Like, there was just no reason. Yeah, Adam, what's his dad? Okay, I'm not wrong. There was just no reason to do it. Like, I get it. If a guy, you know, you're going to hit the guy and he suddenly turns, you hit him in the numbers, and the NHL's like, you know what? You could have avoided it. And you're like, I don't know about that. Like, that's a little bit of a close one. Or, you know, it's a questionable situation. Or you're, like, turning and suddenly your elbow hits a dude where it's, you know, it's not on purpose. And you're like, okay, that was definitely an accident. This one was not. Like, this definitely looked not intentional, like he was trying to headhunt. But you should be a better hockey player. You should be a better skater than that if you're a professional player to avoid these kind of hits. And he definitely deserved 3 games.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's a cap and everything. I'd say he deserves more than 3 games. I thought that was just a dirty, unnecessary hit. It's the kind of stuff that we're trying to get out of the NHL. And it just, it was dumb. It was, that's the best word you can say. If you're dumb, you don't get to play. And you don't get to play with the Capitals for another game or two, because that was just an unnecessary, dumb move. Just stupid. Just
you don't get
play.
To play if you're going to be dumb.
Yeah. So what else is going on in Caps world?
Well, speaking of that hit.
First of all, is there anything good happening in Caps world right now, or is it all just bad stuff?
Well, they've won the game against Tampa, and I think the
and they look great.
Yeah, the Milano move is looking good right now. I mean, there's definitely some good stuff, Mr. Doom and Gloom. But
I know, it's normally
you
that does that.
Well, that's true. that is very true.
You know what's bad when I'm the one going like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, there's definitely a problem because you're usually Mr. Sunshine and Rainbows. You know, we got Garnett Hathaway got fined for some unsportsmanlike conduct. Him and Pat Maroon, both of them actually got fined by the NHL for basically just, you know, going after each other. After that hit, which, you know, that's going to happen. Players are jumping in, and I appreciate Hathaway trying to jump in and not stop things from happening, but doing what he does in terms of being physical. But like, Abe Kubel, it was a dumb hit. No, I think we kind of covered everything a little bit in Caps world. You know, the team definitely could use some healthy players. I would not mind, you know, it's going to be hard, but you know, you have those moves where, I don't know. I would like to see a trade. I would like to see them bring in some younger talent. I think bringing in Sonny Milano was a good start in terms of bringing in a bit of a younger guy. You know, he's 26, so he's, you know, it'd be nice to have a 21-year-old phenom, but you're not just going to get that for nothing. And so, you know, I'd like to see this team try and get a little bit younger. It seems like they're doing that a little bit when they brought in Strome, Milano. You know, Abe Kubel is 20. He's only 26, but, you know, we're questioning his intelligence.
Decision-making.
But yes, his decision-making right now. And so that's a concern in terms of, you know, do you want a guy like that who's going to be hitting people in ways that they shouldn't? And then, you know, I like to see the defense get a little younger, but everybody's got to get healthy. That's the big thing. And then seeing what this team has. And I think someone like Laviolette and not even Laviolette, but McClellan are kind of sitting there looking at the injuries and going, I need to see more and I'm going to wait. And I think he's going to give this team a little bit more time to kind of not gel, but see what they kind of get once they have everybody back. If they ever get everybody back, I mean, you're not going to have Brown. It looks like Tom Wilson will be back late December, early January, probably the same with TJ Oshie. Orlov, they're not sure yet. Malinston, maybe, you know, maybe he was that late December, early January, and Oshie might be sooner. But we got to see them get some of these young guys back, or just players, injured guys back, see how they do. And I think we can get a real look at what this team is. But there's, you know, I'm having some questions right now regarding their depth, because the while they may have players, are they NHL players? Are they players that can produce? Is this a team that's going to be able to win right now? And I just don't No, from what we've seen, that's not the case. This is not a team that can win consistently.
They have not won games back-to-back since, I think, late October.
That's a problem.
That's a big problem.
That is definitely a problem. So, I mean, they got opportunities. You know, and it's not like the rest of the division is just, like, running away with it right now, right? Like, they're only 8 points back of New Jersey, who are 12-3. Caps are 7-8-2 right now, given they have played two more games. But they're not... No one's right. Pittsburgh, who normally is pretty good, is garbage. They're a point behind the Caps, so they have played two less games. Columbus, who is doing well, they're last in the division right now. Carolina, everyone thought was going to be dominating. They're third in the division right now. You know, Boston's kind of doing really well. They're kind of running away a little bit with 28 points. Vegas is doing well, but there's a lot of teams, and they've got opportunities. St. Louis is struggling. They only have 12 points right now. Caps play them, right? They're playing them coming up. Do I have that right? Yeah, they're playing them on Thursday. Florida, everyone thought was going to be doing amazing. They're struggling a bit. You know, so there's opportunities here to start to turn things around against teams that aren't doing quite as well as everybody thought they were going to be doing. So the Caps definitely, they're not out of it by any means, but they probably should be doing better.
Yeah, they should be doing better. We miss you, Willie Bebe. We miss you, Barry Trotz. Hopefully we see both of you soon. But we shall see. So that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on down on the farm?
Let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 3-0 with wins over Bridgeport and Lovell. They're currently 8-2-2 and second in the Atlantic Division. Now, they'll be back at it on Friday in Wilkes-Barre Scranton before hosting Hartford in back-to-back games starting on Saturday at the Giant Center. In other AHL news, Minnesota Wild goalie prospect Jesper Wallstedt pulled off a goalie goal with an empty net shot from across the rink.
Whoa.
Always love a good goalie goal. Did you see this one by chance?
I did not.
It's pretty cool. He just, like, he gets the puck and he just fires it down, goes right in. Kind of makes you wonder why the Caps can't score it with a guy, like a forward or a defenseman who are used to shooting on net. But questions I don't have the answers to. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-0 with a win over Savannah. They're currently 6-2 and second in the South Division. Now, they'll be back at it in Orlando before, I'm sorry, tonight in Orlando before hosting Jacksonville at the North Charleston Coliseum on Friday. They then host Orlando on Saturday and Sunday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
So I think I sent this to you over the weekend, but did you see that the Hershey Bears have opened up like a new store where you can buy like game used jerseys and sticks and stuff at the Giant Center? Did you see that?
Yeah. Didn't you send that to me?
Yeah, I sent you that, and I'm intrigued. I want
you love that stuff.
I do love that stuff, but I want somebody in Hershey to message us and tell us like how much sticks are going for, how much jerseys are going for. I can only imagine.
Oh. Yeah, somebody Hershey, help us out, help Brandon out. That's his thing. He likes stuff that other people have used in sports. I don't know where I was going with that one. That got weird. So yeah, he would like to know how much sticks are.
I'm just intrigued. I really want to know. Like, I've been up there for like the Hershey Bears Booster Club, and I've purchased like some pucks that some people have signed. I'm pretty sure everyone I've bought a puck of has left the Bears like almost immediately. Like, I think I got Connor Carrick, and I'm like, this guy's up with the Caps. He's gonna be a Cap for a little while, and then he immediately got traded to the Maple Leafs. So I don't have
touch LaPierre's stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. But I can't remember who else I have a puck signed from up there. But I like the Booster Club stuff. They like, I don't know if they're still doing it now with this pro shop there, but they have like some deals on signed pucks and that kind of stuff. But anyway, I was just kind of curious because like it's always cool to see like what kind of merch is up there, and they're using game use stuff now. So it's kind of cool. I dig it. So, hey, if you're up in Hershey, let me know how much stuff's going for. I'm just curious. So let us know. Tell us over on Facebook, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. So like us over there. Anyway, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. Let's go around the NHL and beyond. Lots of stuff going on. People misbehaving, people being good. You know, there's some out there. Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL?
Well, it wouldn't be a week in the NHL without someone getting in trouble. We already mentioned Garnet Hathaway and Pat Maroon getting fined. They weren't the only ones.
Uh-oh.
Calgary's Blake Coleman was fined for slew-footing Winnipeg's Pierre-Luc Dubois. Slew-footing is really a dick move.
Yeah, not the greatest.
Yeah, like, it's a trip from... Like, it's just... I don't understand. It's so... I don't know. That one always really annoys me. And Seattle's Carson Soucy was fined for roughing Dubois. What's everyone picking on him? Like, stop it. What did Dubois do to the league that they're all going after him? First, he gets tripped. That can really lead to the kind that can really lead to an injury. And then this Soucy was roughing him. So I don't know what's going on there. Also, Ottawa's Matthew Joseph was fined for high-sticking the Islanders' Sebastian Aho. I forgot there's two Sebastian Ahos in the league. It was like, is that dude with Carolina?
Yeah.
So that took me a moment. I was like, I looked him up. I was like, oh, yeah, there's two of them. Remember, because there was that thing last year. It was the first time two players were like, no. Maybe it wasn't the first time, but it was like, it was a big deal about the Islanders were playing Carolina and like Sebastian Aho versus Sebastian Aho. We also have some news out of the Hockey Hall of Fame, as there are six new members that were inducted this past Monday. You'll recognize some of these names. Daniel Alfredson, Roberto Luongo, Rika Salainen, Daniel and Henrik Sedin, and Herb Carnegie were inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame this past Monday. So congratulations to all of them. And in Beyond News, the first two games of the rivalry series between USA Hockey and Hockey Canada's women's teams, they will be taking place this week. First three games are set for tonight, that being Tuesday, and then Thursday in British Columbia, and Sunday's game will be in Seattle. The entire rivalry series can be viewed on the NHL Network that I don't have. Stop putting it on the NHL Network. Put it on a real channel.
I think ESPN Plus would kind of snag that rivalry series up. But
yeah, I guess... come on. I have that. Oh, come on. Help me out, guys. That's news for the past week in the NHL and beyond.
All right, guys. Well, if you would like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTB Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things. With Brandon, we actually forgot something.
Uh-oh.
The Reverse Retro merch has been released. We were talking about this earlier via text. Not impressed by the jerseys that are made available.
You don't like the authentics or the replicas or anything like that?
Okay, so to clarify, I like the jerseys themselves, the look of them. I don't think I'm going to get one because I just don't know when I'd wear it. Well, that's what I thought earlier. Now I'm looking at it again going, might buy one. My issue is the authentics are $190, and I don't just have $190 to throw out the window. It's that the Fanatics jersey or whatever they're calling it.
Uh-huh.
It looks screen printed, and that bothers me a lot.
Yeah.
I also kind of already have this jersey with the black one from the 2000s with the Capitol Dome logo that honestly I liked more. But don't get me wrong. I think it's a very nice retro jersey. I don't understand. Are they doing the limited? Do you know this? Are they doing the limited thing again where they're only available like certain amounts? They have like, you know, 10 of each t-shirt or some nonsense like that.
Well, I mean, I know Fanatics, like they didn't even list it on the Fanatics website, which I think is really odd.
Yeah, right. That was weird. I caught that today, too.
Are they up there now? I'm going to go look. Because there was a thing where, like, they were on the Monumental Sports website, which is a Fanatics-run website, but they're not on Fanatics.com. Yeah, they're not on Fanatics.com whatsoever.
So you go to NHLShop.com, you go to the Cap Says Capitals, official shop, a Fanatics experience. So confused right now. I feel like this is, like, Inception levels of weird. Great movie, by the way. So,
although somebody hasn't seen Drive in
10 years. No, I knew you were going to freaking say that. I was waiting for you to bring that up.
What a jerk. But,
hey, hurtful. can someone explain to me also with this reverse retros? Always got to talk fashion on this show. Why is it we see Ovechkin, we see Wilson, we Kuznetsov, why is there no love for Nick Backstrom?
He's hurt. He's not wearing it right now.
I don't care. I mean, all right, fair point. But, like, I want a Nick Backstrom. That's my favorite player. I want a Nick Backstrom reverse retro t-shirt. You know?
So I'm looking at it right now. It looks like the Authentics on shopnhl.com or whatever. They're gone. The Authentics are sold out. Let me look. This is men's. I'm sorry. This is for the
men's
jersey.
Why is that even, like, listed then? If there's... Oh, the discount got applied. How nice. They're out of stock.
And then the other one, the Fanatics branded one, that's like still there, except for 2X or 3X. Those are gone.
But that looks like... I mean, it looks... I don't think it's screen printed, but it looks screen printed. You know what it looks like? It looks like the practice jersey they gave away in, like, 2003 or 2004 is like a giveaway at a game. Everybody got like an XL. And it's like, well, this is a freaking dress on me. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a couple of the t-shirts are not bad. It's fine.
I don't see any women's jerseys. So they didn't make this in a women's jersey.
No, didn't I see that earlier? I thought I saw that earlier. That's weird.
And they had.
I don't know.
Kids.
I feel like it is. They did this last year and this year. I feel like the NHL is just. Whoever's in charge of their marketing and merchandise, like, that person needs to take a class or something on how to do this, because they are struggling. They did it last year where they made art. Like, why not have more stuff? It's not like you raise the prices to up the demand. Wait, that's not how that works, right? You limit it to have more demand, but then you don't add more, so more people can't buy them, and then you're not making more money. Like, I don't get that aspect of it. That part confuses me, but what the hell ever. It doesn't matter. Somehow that was finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. On there talking about the Caps, Arsenal Football Club, top of the table. Talking about the Bills, who are struggling right now. The Commanders, who beat the Eagles in one of the weirdest and most ridiculous endings I've ever seen in a football game.
How did that happen?
That they won, or that it was ridiculous?
That the Commanders won on Monday Night Football against the undefeated team.
Right now, I believe if the playoffs started today, do I have this right? Somebody told me this today. Every team in the NFC East would be in the playoffs.
Wow.
It's not the NFC least anymore. Although, watch, they're going to have Carson Wentz play in the next game, and everyone's going to be like, what is wrong with you? If Heineken's doing well, leave him in.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Carson Wentz again this year on the field. I think he might be calling his career over at this point. I think he's done.
You know what? We've already wasted enough draft picks. Idiots. Anyways, that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod is where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals and how I'm annoyed about the reverse retros, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs from time to time, and other things related to the National Hockey League or things that Brandon finds funny. He will post them on the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon, is there another podcast that you should be everybody should be checking out if they happen to be a fan of the Baltimore Ravens?
That's right. Check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. It's a great little podcast. My buddy Josh and I do. Last week, we interviewed Ravens tight end Mark Andrews, and you can listen to that podcast wherever you listen to this podcast. We'll be back this week to preview the game against the Carolina Panthers. Not the Dylan Panthers from Friday Night Lights. That's an actual good team, but the Carolina Panthers. But check us out, The Call. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and Discord, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. As we said tonight, the Caps are in Florida up against the Panthers. That game is happening in a half hour or so, and you probably know the results, so I don't really need to go over that. And
then 7-0 win, shutout. Darcy Kemper, goaltending, not a problem this season.
I think the people in front of Darcy Kemper are kind of like leaving that guy out to dry a little too much.
Yeah, they owe him some dinners or some beers or something.
Yeah. But Charlie Lindgren, I'm still impressed with him. He's doing very well. Anyway, on Thursday, November 17th, the Caps are in St. Louis up against the Blues. That game is an 8 p.m. start, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Saturday, November 19th, up against AEW Full Gear on pay-per-view. You have to choose what you're going to watch, or watch something on a tablet and then watch something on the big screen. But the Caps welcome the Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche to Capital One Arena in D.C. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then we will be back at some point early next week before the true Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, that is on Thursday.
Don't try and start a fight with Ryan. That's our buddy.
That's right. He is our buddy, but Thanksgiving's in November, not October. And
here we go.
Sorry. But we will be back early next week. Just stay subscribed, and we will let you know where to listen to us and when to listen to us. When we record next week, we will figure that out. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.